Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And I'm glad that you've joined us today. Today we have the title message, the title, A Thorn in the Flesh. Pastor Phipps is going to present this message to us just in a moment here. Normally we have some music, but because of the length of our message, we're going to get right to that message. So, without further ado, here now is Pastor Phipps.
It was the last day of a long and treacherous journey. The Apostle Paul, or Saul as he was known then, approached the city of Damascus, breathing threatenings unspeakable. He was bent and determined to annihilate all avowed followers of Christ. Church, you have to understand that no one was feared more by the early church than Saul. To the early Christian church, Saul was a really bad human being. He was a really wicked man, wickedness incarnate. He was evil living in a little man's body. Everywhere Saul went, he carried himself with an air of pride, and everyone feared him because Paul held within his hands the power to imprison and even take the lives of all who professed to be followers of Christ. Paul was pompous, arrogant, drunk with earthly power. That day, as he wound his way through the narrow, dangerous crevices that led to the city of Damascus, he came over the jagged hills, and there before him stood Damascus, shining like a pearl, glistening like a diamond. Suddenly, above his head, and all around about him shone a light brighter than the noonday sun, more dazzling than any light he had ever seen. Out of that light spoke a thunderous, melodious voice, a voice that could neither be ignored nor denied. It was a voice so powerful it stopped Saul dead in his tracks. The voice spoke, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Church, how could it be that someone so powerful speaking from the heavens, someone so transcendent as Jesus, could claim to be persecuted by a little man called Saul? Many people, you see, don't realize that Jesus takes the persecution of his followers very personally. When you mistreat one who has found favor with God, you embark upon a dangerous course, a course that will land you in more trouble than you've ever known. That's why, children, I warn you today, honor your father and your mother. Some children will never be blessed simply because they never learn to speak to their parents with respect. When you persecute and mistreat someone that God has placed in authority over your life, when you mistreat someone that God looks upon with favor, it is as though Jesus sees it as though you are mistreating and persecuting him yourself. As you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. That text not only applies to kindness. You know, we think of it in that sense. As you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. We think of a cup of water and kindness. It also applies to rudeness and meanness. If you treat someone like dirt, Jesus looks at it as though you have treated him like dirt yourself. I think it was John Hugo who once said that one's love for God is equal to the love one has for the man he loves the least. Think on that for a moment. One's love for God is no greater than the love you have for the person you love the least. You can't say, I love God 100% with all my heart. Oh, but that brother over there, he's got 50%. I only love him 30%. No, your love for God is no greater than the love you have for the person you love the least. Jesus said, how can you say you love me whom you've never seen and you don't show love to the person you see every day? When Saul heard that voice, Saul, why persecutest thou me? For the first time in his life, he realized he was making an awful mistake in hounding and hunting down the people of God. He really understood for the first time how displeased God was with the horrific atrocities he was committing against those who believed in Jesus. The first time he really truly saw that his treatment of those who followed Jesus was in heaven's eyes barbarous. So, church, he did all this. Can you imagine that Saul did all this in the name of his religion? People do the most awful things in the name of their religion. Someone said, Lord, save me from the hands of an angry Christian. Paul thought that he was rooting out heretics, and he refused to believe that he was doing anything wrong. But that day on the Damascus Road, he was blinded by the power of God. And for days, Saul couldn't see. You see, Jesus had to blind Saul. He had to take Saul's eyesight away to keep him from becoming a victim of his own pride and self-deceit. You got to listen to me today. I like to say it this way. Before Jesus could bless Saul, he had to knock him down off of his high horse and blind him. That day, Saul got up off his knees. He was broken, but he was blessed. He was a different man. God had to blind him before he could bless him. Oh, listen to me today. Sometimes God has to break you before he can bless you. I believe that into each life there comes a moment when God's voice breaks through the clamor in your mind. A moment when, like Paul, you hear in your heart that unmistakable, irresistible sound of the Savior's voice. I can never forget when it happened to me. That day when God knocked me down off of my high horse. I can never forget that day when the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life. I was headed in the wrong direction. But suddenly, I was struck down by the power and love of God. My mind was invaded by the iridescent, powerful presence of Jesus. I want you to know that is the greatest experience you can ever have. When all of a sudden, God walks into a room, the molecular makeup of the room changes, and you feel a presence that just fills up your spirit and your soul. Turned my whole life around. That day on the Damascus Road, Paul surrendered his life to the power of Jesus. And from the record of his own testimony, he was never the same again. Out there on the Damascus Road, Paul was blessed, church, with a revolutionary insight on an old theological concept called grace. You see, for the first time, Paul no longer trusted in his formal education. He no longer trusted his orthodox theological preparation. No longer did he trust in his ethnicity or his way of life. No longer did he trust in his diet or his pedigree, not even his proud ancestry. Or his family lineage. You know how we can do. I'm a fifth generation. Huh? After his conversion, Paul understood that grace eclipses all family advantages. And in the end, grace is the only advantage you're gonna need. But there was still much more about grace that Paul had to learn. And if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Are you praising God today for his goodness in your life? Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This blew my mind. I hope it encourages you today, because some of you are going through this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In this scripture, Paul writes to the believers in verse 1 in Corinth. He tells them of a rare and wonderful spiritual privilege that was granted to him. Verse 1, Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Stay with me today. Paul said in verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." Are you reading with me? "Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven." Church, listen carefully. Listen to this word that Paul speaks here. And if you listen carefully, you will see that Paul is trying to be humble. He's really talking about himself. And he says, "I knew a man," "in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body." He's trying to be careful. He didn't even present himself as the one who had been caught up to heaven. Church, many theologians believe that Paul was really figuratively and literally talking about himself. And look at verse 3. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was what?" He was what? "Caught up" where? "Into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. According to his own testimony, brothers and sisters, Paul says that he was caught up in vision beyond the first heaven. He was caught up to which heaven? Which heaven? The third heaven. In other words, he was saying, "I was caught up in vision beyond the atmosphere, that is the heavens that you can see. I was caught up," said Paul, "beyond the second heaven." That's, are you with me today? The first heaven is the heaven that you can see. But he said, "I was caught up beyond that. I was caught up beyond the second heaven, beyond the dark expanse of outer space, beyond the stars in the heavens," that's the second heaven, "beyond the billions of miles where a spaceship cannot travel. I was caught up," said Paul, "past the second heaven, up into the third heaven, into that heaven where God's throne is set. I was caught up into the third heaven, the axis and focal point of the universe, that third heaven, the command center of the universe, where God reigns and angels sing his praises. I was caught up to the third heaven where cherubims and seraphims bow down before him, crying, 'Holy, holy, holy.' And in that third heaven," Paul says, "I heard things that I never heard before." Are you with me today? "I saw things of which I am not permitted to speak to you." Can't talk about it. "In the third heaven," said Paul, "I heard sounds and voices the likes of which men have never heard. I heard choirs of angelic hosts. In the third heaven, I heard things unspeakable, things beyond my power and ability to describe." In the third heaven, said Paul, "what I heard, no dialect on earth could ever describe. That while in the third heaven," he said, I recognized I was being permitted a favor not granted to sinful man. And I felt so blessed, felt so privileged. It was better than anything I had experienced on earth." No wonder Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Paul was not saying that death is preferable to life. People use that text at funerals to say that death is preferable to life. Because when you're absent in the body, they say you're present with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? All people who quote that text scared to die. Doesn't make sense. But Paul was speaking when he said that from the perspective of one who had been allowed to experience what it is like to be caught up in the third heaven. He said, man, I would rather be here than there. Paul said, as unbelievable, as marvelous as it may seem, I was permitted entrance in vision to the third heaven. I was permitted a rare glimpse of the paradise of God. And then in a moment of extraordinary candor, Paul said, I must tell you, any man who has been caught up into the third heaven has a right to boast. Whoa, Paul. Slow it down, Paul. About such a man, he says, I am. Come on. Let's look at the text. Go back to your Bible. 2 Corinthians. What book did I say? 2 Corinthians, what chapter? 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You have it right there with you? Praise the Lord. He says in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard what? Unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I what? Glory. Glory. Whoa, Paul. Slow it down a minute, Paul. Paul says, about such a man, I am ready to boast. All right? But I what? Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, which one is it, Paul? Paul says, I will not boast on my own because I know my weaknesses. But if I wanted to boast, I would have reason to boast. Are you staying with me today? Paul says, I'm ready to boast, but I'm not going to boast. That's kind of like saying, I would tell you how handsome I am, but I won't. That's like saying, I would tell you how good looking I am, but I won't. And then look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I refrain from boasting because I don't want anybody to form too high an estimate of me. Now, which one is it, Paul? But even though, says Paul, I had no intention of boasting about what I heard and seen in the third heavens. Oh, God says, read it. Look at verse 6 again. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. Paul says, even if I did glory, I'd still be speaking the truth. He said, if I did boast, I'll only be telling the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Listen, Paul is saying, even though it was never my plan to glory in this honor, look at what God did to me in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, Paul says, now, he started off by saying, if I wanted to boast, I could boast, but I won't. And even if I did boast, I'd just be telling the truth. But because God knew that I had the desire to boast, he gave me a thorn in my flesh. God knows me better than I know myself. And because God knew I would be tempted to glory in what I saw, because God knew that I would be tempted to glory in this wonderful experience, lest I should become exalted above measure because of the abundance and magnificence of the revelations that were shown to me, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. lest I should become lifted up because of pride or on account of what I had seen. Paul says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me by God to keep the blessing God had given me from becoming the cause of my spiritual downfall. Woo! Woo! This thorn, says Paul, was given to protect me from myself. Woo! Are you listening to me today? It was given to me to keep me from spiritual pride, lest I should boast, lest I should be exalted, just so I would get, he knew I would probably get too puffed up beside myself. So God gave me this thorn in the flesh, as Paul, a messenger of Satan, to buffet and torment me and to keep me from exalting myself. Church, many theologians have speculated as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been. Some say he was crippled. Others say he walked with a limp. One theologian even suggests that when in Galatians 4:13, and if you have your Bible, turn with me there, Galatians 4:13. One theologian even suggests that when in Paul in Galatians 4:13, when he says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Galatians 4:14, "And my temptation, the thorn in my flesh, which was where?" Galatians 4:14, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." And then he says in verse 15, "Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." So some theologians suggest that Paul's thorn was probably an affliction that affected his eyes, that he was either droopy-eyed or weepy-eyed. But whatever that thorn was, Paul says, God gave it to me to protect me from what caused my spiritual downfall in the first place, and that was pride. Church, whatever the thorn was, Paul says, there came a moment when I couldn't take that thorn in my flesh anymore. Paul said, I decided I was going to talk to the Lord about this thorn. Huh? And look at verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord." Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Go back to 2 Corinthians verse 12. Paul says, "For this thing I besought the Lord." How many times? In other words, he said, "I asked the Lord to take away this burden. Two times I asked him to remove the ailment, the thorn. But each time I asked the Lord about it, he remained silent. I asked him once. I asked him twice. But the third time I asked, God said to me," what? That's a nice way of saying, "I'm not taking it away, Paul. I'm not taking this thorn away." You remember? I would boast, but I'm not going to boast. If I did boast, God said, "Wait a minute. You need a thorn." Paul. Yes, you surrendered to me on the Damascus Road, but I know you, Paul. You need a thorn in your flesh. Paul, I'm not taking it away. Church, no matter how good we are, no matter how spiritual we are in each of our lives, God looks deep into our minds and our character. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And because of our own propensities to some secret sin, God will place in your life a thorn in your flesh. Something that will make you not be so cute. Something that will make you not so desirable. Something that will make you not appear so gifted and intelligent. Some area in your life where you'll almost feel like God handed you a bad hand. Because you see, nobody has it all together. Nobody's perfect. And today the Lord is speaking to someone who you're wrestling with an ailment. You want God to take it. But God says, I know you. I'm not going to let you. You need this. Lord, but it's so painful. You need this. Lord, I want you to take it. You need it. But Lord, I won't get lifted up. You need it. Lord, you know I'm not a very proud person. You know I'm not going to boast. I know you. You need this. For the Lord to get Paul to where he wanted him to be, he had to leave him in the fire, and he had to leave that thorn in the flesh. And now I ask you today, is there an ache? Is there an area where you don't quite have it all together? Now, whatever that is, I want you to ask God to help you accept it and believe that His grace will be sufficient for you. I want you to know, when you give it to Jesus, the point of your weakness will become the point of your strength.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. I do hope you enjoyed the message entitled A Thorn in the Flesh. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church. I'm going to give you a phone number here in just a moment. The Seabrook Church phone number is 301-577-6342. Again, the phone number 301-577-6342. And you'll want to ask today for program number 302. That's program number 302. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, until you can join us again for our program. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.